This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Shaw Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It is Sunday morning, and you know what that means. It's time for The Fantasy Show Canada-wide across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara alongside Shaw Ali. Week 10, people. Week 10 in the National Football League, and we will have your fantasy football start sits for every single game this week. Have some Domino's pizza to give away because, show, as you know on this program, if the Cleveland Browns win, so do you. And the Browns put the boots to those kitty cat Cincinnati Bengals last week. Woo! Pizza for all. How's it going?
That's very, very Ric Flair of you, Andy. Woo!
Yeah, oh, it's a loud way to wake up, I'm sure, for our listeners in Vancouver who are like, quiet, you awful man. You're waking the children.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, we do appreciate all of you who get up early. But, of course, if you miss any of the program, we do upload it to the site right after so you can still get all your information in before kickoff. But, Joe, yeah, we'll tell you about that in the 9 a.m. hour. You have a chance to win some Domino's pizza because the Browns win. And, show, here's a bit of a double dip for us, me versus you.
All right.
It's Browns versus Patriots today, but also in our Fan 590 fantasy league, it's me versus you there as well.
Really?
This is intense.
I hadn't even looked to see who was playing. That's really funny.
Maybe I should not have told you because that probably means I was in really good shape if you hadn't noticed yet.
I mean, look, this is coming from a guy who last week, my routine on Sunday mornings, I don't know if anyone else has like a very specific routine on what they'd like to do on game day, like whether before they watch quote unquote their team or what have you. But when it comes to fantasy football, usually Sundays are one of my busiest days of the week because of the show. And I usually do some other stuff on Sunday afternoons around the station anyways. Right. So I'm usually here. And so last week we actually started our like kind of secondary program at 3 p.m. Eastern instead of 1 p.m. Eastern. So like my entire routine got delayed by a couple of hours. And what ended up happening was I actually forgot to set my lineup in one of the five leagues I was in. And I was really happy because I had made a bunch of pretty, I think, some savvy plays. And I didn't leave any points on the bench except for I had left Kyler Murray in as the starting quarterback in a league where I also have Justin Herbert on the bench. And, of course, Herbert, like, blew up last week against the Eagles. And had I started him, I would have won and beaten our colleague Mark Boffo in another kind of Sportsnet league I've been in for a number of years. So I ended up losing that game. Thankfully, I'm still 6-3, I think, in that league. So it's all good. It's all fine in the end. But at the same time, I was mad because I could be tied for first in this league. And instead, I'm like tied. It was like a 14 team league. I'm tied for like 6th or 7th place now, which is wild.
Ooh, show that is. I know. Boy, that's one. Just set your lineup, people. That could be a fantasy shirt.
Do it early.
We need to come up with our own fantasy show line of clothing. I think it would pop. You have Danger Zone. You have now set your lineup. We have It's Showtime, but spelt like you.
All right.
Like your name. Like that's probably the top seller right there. Personally, I would want It's Showtime shirt myself.
Well, I will just have to be careful. You know what I've learned, because I do the podcast, the movie podcast, and so on, and I like to say that it's Showtime. It's a pretty, it's a kind of writes itself, right? It's pretty easy. But at the same time, the emergence of Shohei Ohtani in Major League Baseball has ruined it for me. It's ruined, honestly. Like there was I don't know who the Angels radio commentator is, but I remember I think it was last season. It wasn't this past season. It was a shortened season, and Ohtani hit a home run. And he ended the call by saying, "It's showtime." And I thought, there goes that thing. I can never use it again. As long as Ohtani is good, I can never use it again. And of course, he's probably going to win the American League MVP this year. So there you go.
Well, or show you piggyback Ooh. Off the success. So people can think like, oh, I'm getting a Shohei Ohtani shirt. No, no, you're getting a shirt that goes straight to the pocket of one Shaw Ali. I say you embrace it.
All right.
Piggyback it and embrace it.
I like it.
You know, the only other Andy McNamara, there's an Andy McNamara in broadcasting who's like 60, who does soccer in Portland, Oregon, which would be all things my personal hell. If I had to go to broadcaster hell show, it would be doing soccer in Portland. And there's an older, same exact name, Andy McNamara, who does it. I've actually gotten emails before or texts like, hey, can you come on to talk soccer? It's like, you have the wrong individual, sir, and I will not.
I just Googled him. Andrew McNamara was the radio voice of the Portland Timbers of Major League Soccer from 2001 to 2011. Wow. There you go.
Oh, he's been out for that long. Oh, hope he's not. Maybe I'm the only one left.
I think he's fine. I think he's okay. I think he's just retired.
He's probably fine.
Yeah.
He's retired. Well, still. Anyway, let's get to football.
All right, let's do it.
There's a lot to get to. There's a lot to get to, show. And like we said, we'll take you through fantasy football start sits, danger zone picks, people's text line 590-590. Answer your fantasy football questions. 590-590, name and location, please. And on Twitter, of course, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. Here's the situation. Odell Beckham Jr., with his daddy sending out the videos because he was sad he didn't get enough footballs thrown to him, ends up in Los Angeles. Looks like, all right, whatever, there's a lot of ball. Then show, yesterday, Saturday, boom, Robert Woods tears his ACL gonzo for the year. And now everybody's popping up and thinking Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be flashing back to one-hand catches on Thanksgiving from 2014. How do you feel now about Odell Beckham Jr. going to L.A. and now, you know, you have one less guy in front of you with Robert Woods?
Well, first of all, that super sucks about Robert Woods. He was having a pretty quietly, a pretty good year, right? He was kind of like locked
very
in as the
year.
every week WR2 in an offense that throws the ball a lot, right? Matthew Stafford making everyone on that offense look pretty good, which is pretty exciting. So you know what? Rest up, Bobby Trees. I hope you come back stronger next year. It was really, you know, I think the saddest thing about it was that he seemed to be fine, right? It was like he was completely fine all day. Mm-hmm. He finished practice, talked to reporters, went to do all of his, you know, post-workout, post-practice routine. And then it's like, oh, by the way, you tore your ACL. It's like, which sucks, right? So that's really awful. So I hope he comes back next year really strong because I've always enjoyed watching him play. When it comes to OBJ's fit in the Rams offense, I'm sure he's going to be used a decent amount, but at the same time, I kind of feel like, I don't want to say he's washed necessarily, but I think the prime of OBJ's career is behind him, right? Like the years mm-hmm. of him going up and embarrassing Dallas Cowboy cornerbacks and doing all sorts of phenomenal things. Look, no one's ever going to be able to take that away from him, but like he's past his prime now for a guy who like kind of relied on like raw athleticism. Maybe he can be like a possession receiver in Los Angeles, but I'm not going to like bet on him being like the fantasy wide receiver 5 from now until the end of the year, like some people are saying,
no.
Right? Like I think there will be fantasy production. I'm sure there will be some value in half or full PPR leagues, but I mean, this, you know what it kind of reminds me of? I don't know if you ever saw Ballers. Did you ever watch that TV show, like that HBO show with The Rock?
Yes, I watched season, at least full season 1, maybe a bit into season 2.
Okay, all right. So, well, you probably, I think, along with everyone else who got out at that point, got out at the right time, because as fun as that show was, it got quite bad, let's say, down the stretch.
Really?
But I'll say this, Andy, you know who was a star on that show, or who was at least a very frequent guest appearance in the final season of the show, was Odell Beckham Jr. When he was, I think, kind of at the beginning of his tenure with the Browns, I want to say, or maybe like the very end of his tenure with the Giants. But either way, he was on the show, and there's a storyline in the show where the Ricky Jarrett character, who is like a fictional character, ends up going to play for the Patriots. And before he does so, he has to get like approval from the wide receivers who have the quote unquote keys to the kingdom. And I think it was, he goes to meet with Edelman and Danny Amendola, and they work him out, and they like deem him to be worthy of playing for Bill Belichick. And then he joins the team. And then like in the in between seasons, they win the Super Bowl, and then they come back and he's like not in the Patriots anymore. Right. So I almost feel like
he's gone.
That's kind of how I feel like what Odell did. He must have gone the Cooper Cup, and Robert Woods and Tyler Higbee, you know, took him to breakfast with Matthew Stafford. They deemed him worthy to play for Sean McVay. And then and now he's, you know, he's filling in. I don't know if he had like a voodoo doll to make sure his role in this offense was going to be a little greater than otherwise would have been. But yeah, I don't know. OBJ's fantasy value in this Rams offense, I'm sure it'll be there, you know, fleetingly, but I don't think you should bet on it.
I'm totally with you. Folks, here's what happens a lot in fantasy football, even from the national media. Like guys like Steve Smith Jr., whatever, on NFL Network, running his mouth, saying how great Steven, have you seen Odell Beckham Jr. on the field? That's what I would say if I was next to him. I'd say, little fella, have you seen OBJ do anything of note consistently since 2016, show? 2016. Now, that's a long time ago. If I would have thought ahead, I would have done one of those things where it's like, so-and-so was president. This was the top of the charts on the billboard and all
right,
that. But I didn't.
Right.
I just thought of that now. So it 5 years, show. 5 years. Now, you could look and say, well, Andy, he's had a two, just nibbled at that 1,000-yard season in 2018 and 2019. Okay, I will say this. The 2019 1,000-yard season for the Browns was the least impactful 1,000-yard season, show, I've honestly ever seen in my life. Like, there was, like, two big games. It was sort of like a Will Fuller season. There was, like, two big games and then, like, nothing, and somehow he fell over the mark at 133 targets, and the catch share was nothing. Injury, the burst is gone. That's the notes coming out of Cleveland from beat reporters with him. They said the reason is he's still fast, but he doesn't have that elite burst. That's what got him open, off the draw. Deke out his corner, gets behind him. Why is OBJ double-team? You look at the tape, oh, he's double-team. Because he's not that fast anymore, because he can't get by. He doesn't have that burst. That's why, for fantasy purposes, I put OBJ in the I'm not touching him pile, show, because what am I going to do? Am I going to put him in my flex, and 1 week I'll get 6 fantasy points, and then the next week maybe he goes off for one? Like, I'm not saying he'll never have a good game again. I'm just saying you cannot rely on him, and to me, the beneficiary of a poor Robert Woods tearing his ACL is not OBJ, it's Van Jefferson. And if McVay and that offense is smart, they will not try to force-feed OBJ the ball like they did in Cleveland, and they will get the ball to Van Jefferson and let OBJ fit in where he goes. The question then, show, becomes, boy, hey, if you thought with your buddy Jarvis Landry on the field, you weren't getting enough footballs, I don't think they're going to stop throwing to Cooper Kupp.
No. Yeah, right? The guy, I think last I checked, Cooper Kupp led the NFL in both receiving touchdowns and receiving yards. So I don't think Matthew Stafford is going to stop having breakfast with or throwing the balls to Cooper Kupp. Yeah, I totally agree. I would also say, like, if you had to vacate, because we kind of did this exercise when Hunter Renfrow got the boost in targets, and I'm sure we'll talk about him when we get to the Raiders game a little later on, the Sunday nighter against the Chiefs. But, I mean, like, you look at where targets go when other members of the offense are no longer available for whatever reason. And in Los Angeles, I think you're totally right. I think it could be Van Jefferson, because when OBJ signed, I kind of thought maybe OBJ was going to just completely annihilate Van Jefferson's value just because Robert Woods was still there, right? But without Woods, certainly Van Jefferson, you can still keep him on your team rather than dropping him to waivers. But I also think that Tyler Higbee is a candidate to get more targets, because that guy, like, he doesn't see a lot of fantasy points necessarily, but that guy is on the field, like, in terms of, especially you and I talk about this literally every week, the idea that the tight end position group is so thin for fantasy, right? For fantasy purposes. Tyler Higbee, while he may not be returning the top end value for, like, a TE1 that you want, Higbee is on the field, I want to say, like, 98% of the time. Like, even if they're not running the ball, he is on the field, like, more than almost every single tight end in the entire NFL. And that includes guys like Travis Kelce and Darren Waller, right? Like, he is on the field blocking, and he's on the field helping out that offense almost every single snap, which is absolutely phenomenal. That's exactly what you want, because you basically know that there's a chance he could be involved in a passing down on any given play. It just so far hasn't returned value. But I wonder, with Woods out, if they might not try and get the ball to Higbee a little more, because as you and I both know, and as all the listeners know, Matthew Stafford loves throwing the ball to the tight end.
Well, 10 targets last week. Now, Higbee only got 5 of them, but what you want is the opportunity, right? What do we always say on the show? Opportunity equals success for fantasy football. And I think when you look at that, he doesn't even need 10 a game. If he's getting between 7 and 10 targets and can just haul in more and can catch more of them, well, all of a sudden, showing PPR, you're looking at a decent fantasy game, and if he can start mixing in a few touchdowns, that's pretty good. You know, that's not too shabby. So I think it'll be very interesting to see. OBJ should suit up on Monday. Now, again, that's the first game in. How a cut, like, show, I could argue he never got fully acclimated to the offense in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Never mind how fast he's going to pick stuff up.
Don't start him this week.
No. Well, and Dan Orlovsky, who's a great analyst for, I believe it's ESPN he's on, former NFL quarterback. And he was saying, he's like, everyone's blaming Baker Mayfield. I know, Baker Mayfield apologist, right? Granted. It's out there, show. However, Orlovsky said, look at Baker's eyes when Odell runs the route. So Odell gets open, but he's like, Odell's running the wrong route. So Baker's looking for him to go left. Odell decides, no, I think I'll go right. And then it's like, why didn't you throw me the ball? It's like, because that's not what the plan was, you freaking guy. Right? It's like, that wasn't the plan. You went right. Oh, I'm open, but you're not supposed to be there. Like, that's the stuff people don't look at. You look at the tape the dad put out. And it's like, well, if he's not running the play, how is the quarterback supposed to know? So maybe in LA show, they'll just go like, Odell runs straight for a while and then like look up once in a while to see if the ball's there. Maybe that's the plan.
Yeah,
nice
tonight.
And simple
for him. Yeah, or pardon me, on tomorrow night. Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think I'd seen something like they're going to have him like run punt return plays on Monday night, probably because that's like the easiest thing to really like jack into, you know, in terms of uploading your plays in the first week. So maybe that like that's pretty much all we'll see. And I don't, I mean, you know, what are we going to expect from that, right? The chances of betting on someone to bust like a punt return for a touchdown or like even like a 20 plus yard gain, I think is a pretty tall order, right? So I think, yeah, it's
today's NFL.
Oh boy, yeah, exactly. Like leave OBJ, leave Odell on the bench this week. Maybe we can have this conversation again in a week or two because, you know, it'll probably take him a while to get up to speed. I'm sure the Rams will want it to happen sooner rather than later with no Robert Woods. But for this week, I'm not going to. You probably, like, imagine waiting until Monday night and you put OBJ into your lineup and you're like, oh, this is going to be great. And then he scores like, you know, like what? Like he gets like two catches for 20 yards in his first game, right? So I think
that
it's best,
right.
Best leave it for next week or the week after, I think.
Yeah, wait to see how it plays out. Some other news. Boy, this is a hit. Alvin Kamara out. Out
really
for
boy.
The New Orleans Saints. Yep, jeez. Adam Schefter listed 10 minutes ago. And how about this little nugget? This is reported. Mark Ingram, who, remember, got traded back to the Saints, needs 20 rushing yards to become the Saints' all-time rushing yards leader.
Well, I'm very pleased. I picked up Mark Ingram during the week,
oh,
so I'll be playing nice. Him in one of those five leagues I'm in. But so I hope you also managed to pick up Mark Ingram. He was wasn't a very hot waiver wire pickup. But I mean, yeah, you're right. With no Alvin Kamara, he is going to see a lot of usage today. So
that sucks. Yeah. So
it does stink. It does stink. But at least you know that they're gonna have to, like, volume based, they're gonna have to hand the ball off to Ingram like at least 20 times today.
Yeah, no, you're right. Other news, COVID-19, of course, running afoul of the league again. Nick Chubb and Demetric Felton out for the Browns today. So let yourself up some De'Ernest Johnson against the Pats, but also Ben Roethlisberger out for COVID. Now, if there was ever a game you had to miss due to COVID show, I would think versus the Lions would be the one, and that's who the Steelers are playing. So I'm guessing it's probably going to be all helmet to the head Mason Rudolph, I guess.
I guess so, right, yeah. Did you know that Duck Hodges now plays in the CFL? I only like recently learned this. He plays for like I forget who he plays for. It might be the Red Blacks, might be a different team, but either way, he plays in the CFL, which I was shocked to learn. They even have like duck whistles for him and everything.
Is he starting?
I think he did start last week. I don't know if he's like the permanent starter, if that was like an injury-based thing, but he is a starter in the CFL. So there you go.
I'm going to go tackle. I'm going to drive to wherever he is. I'm going to tackle Duck Hodges. I'm coming for you, Ducky. Duck Hodges. Anyway. That's ridiculous.
And you know that at some point in the next 5 years, one of Mason Rudolph or Devlin Duck Hodges will be starting for the Cleveland Browns, right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Miles Garrett will not allow that, and neither will I. We will not stand for that nonsense. But yeah, so I think if we look at it from the fantasy side show, obviously what that does, like I went out on waivers and picked me up a little Pat Freiermuth, the name that just flows and rolls off the tongue of anybody. The rising popping tight end, mid to high teens the last few games, really connecting. And now I'm thinking, well, I was going to put him in my flex. And now I'm thinking I probably got to park him. I don't want to rely on a Mason Rudolph arm. Dwayne Haskins is floating around there as well. But, you know, Deontay Johnson, like, you have to really – Najee Harris, I think, would be safe and maybe his value even increases. But other than that, like, where do you put Deontay Johnson in this conversation? He's been poking WR2 numbers. Like, I guess a flex, but I don't like this game at all now with the quarterback situation.
Yeah, I think the only two guys you can feel – like, I mean, I don't think you can feel comfortable with starting anyone, really. But I think you have to start Deontay because, I mean, I think as their best wide receiver, I think you have to start him because the chances of them, for whoever the backup is, start force-feeding the ball to Deontay is pretty high, I would say, right? So I like that, and I like Najee Harris because, you know, they're going to probably going to be a lot of little dump-off passes. So especially in, in half or full PPR, I think you're starting. I mean, you're starting Najee Harris anyways, right? It's not like you're ever going to bench Harris at this point because of how great he's been. But after Deontay, after Harris, I don't even know if I take a chance on Pat Freiermuth, despite how great he's been recently, or anyone like that. Ray McLeod, I know, there was some talk about him getting into the offense too. But at this point, I think you can really only start those two guys. And funnily enough, on the Lions side of things, I think you can pretty much only start DeAndre Swift and TJ Hawkinson at this point.
Yeah. I think we just rolled through that game.
Yeah, right, I think
there,
we did
pretty much. It's not a great game.
No, not very sexy.
Could be a lot of garbage. Could be a lot of garbage points though for the Lions. I guess it's just something where it doesn't look great. I'm just reading this here. Ian Rappaport saying that Ben Roethlisberger's self-reported symptoms to the team, took a test, was positive. Great example of a player doing the right thing and preventing spread. Hey. Good for Big Ben.
Yeah.
Didn't try to tough it out.
I think that that kind of stuff I feel like is legitimately important these days because it's maybe like doubly so on the heels of all that Aaron Rodgers fiasco from last week. So I think that he did that. You know what? Good for Big Ben. I can dig it. I can get behind that.
Now, can you dig this show? Can you dig it?
Uh-oh.
Cam Newton back to Carolina. Ugh. Oh, baby. Sam Darnold saw the ghosts, and boy, what a disaster that turned out to be. My goodness. I actually liked PJ Walker coming out of the XFL. He was our guy last year.
Yeah.
He popped a little bit. We like PJ, but doesn't look like it's probably going to work out on the starter side for him in the National Football League. What do you think of Cam Newton coming back? Like, again, Joe, I think it's a case where people, similar sort of OBJ, of it's like, yeah, name recognition. Cam Newton, we love Cam. I thought Cam was amazing, and I thought his arm talent was always underrated before the catastrophe of injuries that kept piling onto him, the ankle, the shoulders. I don't think we should expect much fantasy-wise out of Cam Newton at all. The guy throwing the football, his arm, it looks like he's shot-putting it, and can he stay healthy? Like, I don't think this really raises... If you have a Cam Newton from 5 years ago, bring it, but... Right now, show does it like I don't get excited over DJ Moore or Robbie Anderson now that Cam Newton's back. Do you?
No, I don't think so. Right? I think we saw what the value was, and certainly I would agree with people who say the wide receivers during Cam's tenure with the New England Patriots weren't exactly like top shelf. Right? I like Jacoby Myers and I like a lot of these other guys, but they weren't exactly moving the needle. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson would move it a little more. Don't get me wrong, but at the same time. He's also he struggled to throw the ball so much. You mentioned it, the litany of injuries. I can't bet on Cam with any regularity. You know what I mean? Someone had asked me on Twitter, like, do I start DJ Moore over blank this week? And I said, you know what? Depending on who it is, you might have to keep DJ Moore on the bench just until we see what Cam Newton looks like. Is it possible that he spent this entire time rehabbing and maybe like working his throwing motion a little better? It's entirely possible that that is the case. Yes, absolutely. It's also very possible that he will look no different and that this will essentially just hurt literally the value of everyone on that Carolina offense, including Christian McCaffrey, right? So I think we really have to see. I'm hoping for the best, but I'm expecting the worst. Let's put it that way.
No, I think it's fair. And even if he has rehab, like the dude's taking so many shots.
Yeah.
He's... Even Superman in the comics died at one point, right? I had those comics when I was a kid.
He did come back to life, though.
He did. It was like four different Supermen. It was a terrible, terrible reboot. I mean, it was awful. But, yes, he did. He did rise, and maybe this is Cam's rising back. But Superman was never the same in the comics. And dare I say, show, I don't think he's going to be the same in real life NFL.
Maybe we'll see Cam Newton wear, remember when he comes back to life, he wears like the black Superman suit, like the black and gray. Maybe Cam will like have a black and if he succeeds, he'll have like a black and gray Panthers uniform, like with that crazy font he posts on Instagram. I don't even know what that font's called, but it kind of scares me.
I think, it seems like you'd get it cut out, like letters out of a magazine, like, we have your loved one. Like, that's what that font reminds me of. Okay, Joe, let's get to a little bit of over-under, huh?
All right, let's do it. I want to had to change up some of the music, some of the sounds for you because, the Sportsnet Orchestra, they had some demands. We had to change a couple things. So I'm going to just give you an example of what things sound like. Okay, Andy. So okay, I'm going to just for people who are unfamiliar, I'm going to give Andy a couple of quick questions here before we break. And if he's correct, you will hear this answer, this sound. See, very simple, right? Nice, a nice little chime, right, Andy?
Nice, free and generic.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you are incorrect, you'll hear this sound. You know, there was actually another sound where the end of it, you hear like people go, oh, but I thought it was a little too long, so we skipped that one.
Studio audience, yeah.
Exactly. All right, let's hit the music, Danielle. Let's do it. All right. So let's start here. Broncos quarterback Andy Teddy Bridgewater. All right. Last week the Broncos a surprising win over the Dallas Cowboys. I think they were up like 30-0 at one point. Until midway through the fourth quarter. So Teddy Bridgewater turning back the clock a little bit. Over under from you on 17 points.
17 fantasy points for Teddy Two Gloves. What's a big game? So 30 points. I remember Gordon ran a bit. You know what? 17, you're getting 30. I'm going to say over. I'll say just over.
Yeah, there you go. He had 21.86 points. It was a top 10 fantasy point performance, actually, good, in terms of quarterbacks from Teddy Bridgewater last week, Andy.
Good on him. Well, it could be another one against Philly. Him versus Jalen Hurts could be a fun one.
You know what? Let's do this one for our next one. Eagles QB Jalen Hurts. Over under 15 points last week.
Oh. Jalen, he is stumbling. My guy is stumbling. I'm going to say under.
Yeah, there you go. That is correct, Andy. Yeah, he was just under, right? But here's the thing. He was. I guess it also depends on your scoring formats. Let's put it that way, right? It might be slightly different because he was like right on the cusp. He was like right on the, like, I think one less point it would have been incorrect, right? But Jalen Hurts, like, has the bloom fallen off the rose a little bit with Hurts, you think?
I think a bit. Like, this is the time of the season for guys who, and he's not a rookie, but to, you know, first time starters. Now you got to readjust. Teams know about you. They figured you out. Now we're back-to-back weeks of dud fantasy performance. You have a tough defense against Denver. You have the Saints, the Giants, the Jets. So there is a stretch after this week where the defenses ease up some going into the bye. I think it's going to be really, like, to hinge on what he's going to be doing next season in Philly, whether it's a backup or the starter. I think these next 3-4 games, he's got to really pop. But this is his he's got to roll this out now. So we'll see.
Let's move over to the running backs, and we'll stick with the Eagles. Jordan Howard. You and I kind of poo-pooed Jordan Howard last week. Over under for Jordan Howard in week 9, 10 points.
Jordan Howard, my goodness, came back again. I'm going to say just under. I think it was like 9.8 or something.
Yeah, he actually had 13 fantasy points last week, Andy. Jeez. 13 points from Jordan Howard. That was a week after, I think he had 2 touchdowns the week before, the very first week that Miles Sanders had been injured, right? So, I mean, boy, what do you do with Jordan Howard now? Because it looks like he is getting a lot of the early down running work from the Eagles.
Well, and the head coach said, quote, "We have to work him into the offense on a permanent basis, even after Miles Sanders comes back."
That's awful.
This is terrible.
Yeah.
Off the practice squad, we got Bo Scarborough. That's what happened from a couple years. We got Bode or Scarborough, whatever.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Feels good. Right? Like, now it's against Denver. Like, okay, Kenneth Gainwell just got the boot ski all of a sudden. Like, I don't understand that. You still have Boston Scott. Miles Sanders is floating around. Oh, by the way, you have a running quarterback. Yikes. Like, I wouldn't feel bad if you're in a bye week situation to put Howard in as maybe a flex or a super desperation RB2. But folks, there's no way we can count on it. Even with back-to-back double-digit weeks, there's no way we can count on this. Now, if we see it against a tough Denver defense, show maybe we have to start taking this seriously. But right now, I'm still very tentative.
Yeah, it's I want as little or as few parts of that of the Eagles offense as humanly possible. Let's get to one more before we hit the break, and we'll end with the Indianapolis Colts, who I believe are taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars today. Wide receiver Michael Pittman Jr. Andy, over under 13 fantasy points in week 9.
Oh, I gotta say, over. Pittman's been rolling lately.
There you go. it was we wanted to make you on the edge of your seat, Andy.
Sweating.
Sweat that one out. No, yeah. You're right. 14.9 fantasy points for Michael Pittman. I think he has had three or four straight weeks of double-digit production. He has scored touchdowns early and often. He has shown a real connection with quarterback Carson Wentz. Do you think the good times keep rolling, not only against the Jaguars today, but just for the rest of the season now that the Colts and Carson Wentz's ankles are finally healthy?
Yeah, I do, man. I think he's turned into the alpha WR1 we were hoping for. We didn't see it last year. We didn't really see it at the beginning of this year. Now, week two, he certainly went off, but now he has touchdowns in four of his last five games. The guy is getting the target share. I still think this is turning into more of Jonathan Taylor's team.
Right.
But the guy's just popping touchdowns. I'd like to see the targets go to him a bit more. Like, 2 weeks ago, he had 15, which is obscene, of course.
Yeah.
But, like, heck, against the Jags? Yeah, right? And then you got a pretty good slate after that. Buffalo defense is tough, but then Tampa Bay and Houston. So I think Pittman right now, you got to put in at the very least a WR2, but I would feel comfortable as a back-end WR1 as well. I think he's going to be that good and has been that good.
Yeah, he's been a lot of fun to watch. He's been great. So I think we'll have to monitor the target share situation in the Colts offense, just because, like you said,
a little up and down.
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor has been getting like the bulk of the work.
Oh.
And it's nice because as Taylor goes, that offense goes. So if he is doing well, the passing offense seems to be going a little bit better, right? So
I'm at least
against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are just, I mean, I know they won last week, but by and large, they have been a not great football team this entire season.
No.
So I'm thinking they come back down to earth a little bit this week, and you'll see Wentz, Taylor, and Pittman feast a little. You know what? That might be a little combo danger zone now that I say that out loud.
Ooh,
maybe I'll go that
okay.
from, a little later on.
All right, it's a bit of a tease. We will kick it off once we return from the break. Fantasy football starts it for every single game. We'll answer your fantasy questions as well, top of the hour, when the fantasy show continues. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Back to The Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Good morning, everybody. Week 10 in the NFL. Time for your fantasy football start sits for every single game this week. We'll hit up the People's Text Line where you can get your fantasy questions answered. 590-590, name and location. On Twitter, of course, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. And, of course, we're delivered by Domino's Pizza. And, Show, we got some Domino's last night for me and the kids and the wife and all that. And you know what? I noticed, I was like, I hadn't had the cheesy bread in a while. So I picked it up as a side dish to go along with my large three-topping pizza.
Okay.
Delicious. Try the side dishes, people. You focus on the pizza, as do I, and sometimes you forget about how great the side dishes are, like the boneless chicken, cheesy bread, all that good stuff. It's very good.
I actually, every time I order the pizza, no joke, I order the cheesy bread just because really like it. But I admit I don't order the other sides, but the cheesy bread, very good.
There you go, folks. Let us know your favorite, if you want. Anyway, let's get to the fantasy football start sits for this week. Let's kick it off.
Lions at Steelers.
Now, we talked about this one already quite a bit with Ben Roethlisberger out. I think the only must start for the Steelers, Show, is Najee Harris. Deontay Johnson, I understand. I would categorize him as a flex really at this point, and with the bye weeks, I'm sure you probably don't have too many other options. The Bears, Bengals, Giants, and Texans on bye this week. So I would just hold expectations and maybe not rely on Pat Freiermuth this week with Big Ben out.
Yeah, exactly. We just want to see how, I mean, Big Ben will probably be back next week. So, if you can hold off on playing anyone, you should, I guess. But Deontay Johnson, I mean, he leads the team in targets, receptions, and receiving yards, and is second on the team with three touchdowns. So I think, like, you can't not start Deontay Johnson, but I think if you do, you just have to be expecting a little less than what you usually get from him.
Yeah, and then for the Lions, it's DeAndre Swift and it's TJ Hawkinson. That's really all I'm interested in with them.
Yeah, pass on Amon Ross St. Brown, Khalif Raymond, Kaderil Hodge. I mean, I don't, you know, on other offenses, if they were in like the third wide receiver role, maybe, but I mean, nah, not here yet. It's really, like you said, it's these four players between these two teams, and that's pretty much it.
That's it. Let's move on to the next game.
Bills at Jets.
Now, for all the Bills fans listening, I'm sure you were alongside Cho and I when it was, what the bleep was that?
Boy.
Not only, Cho, not only do you lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars, not only do you lose to them, you lose 9-6? What happened? That offense put up 6 points, 2 interceptions, 0 touchdowns for Josh Allen. Good Lord, Cho, imagine Baker Mayfield did that. Oh, man, they'd be, oh.
He has done that before.
The torches. He has not done that. Pitchforks and flames all after. Josh Allen, oh, it's excused. I love Josh Allen, but I don't know what happened there. I would think, Cho, that the Bills would want to make a statement. And unfortunately, the hapless New York Jets, maybe it's Mike White Day part two, but I think the Jets are just going to be steamrolled here.
Yeah, I mean, look, the upside is that while the Jacksonville defense did get to Josh Allen and the offensive line looked awful, they looked awful last week, right? Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, like you said, it's the Jets. The defense for the Bills also was completely fine last week. I mean, at the end of the day, they lost, but the Bills defense gave up 9 points and I think about 210 yards of total offense. Like if you had told me that before the game, I would have said the Bills blew out the Jaguars last week, right? If you'd said the Bills defense only gave up 9 points and 210 yards of total offense. Yeah, like that's terrific. And now they get the Jets, right? So I think, I mean, it may be slightly more yardage given up or slightly more points or what have you, but I think you can feel good about it this week just because, you know, the defense is going to probably eat basically everyone alive. I agree with you. It's probably going to be a very good bounce back performance. On the Jets side of things, I think I'm sitting basically everyone but Michael Carter, and even Michael Carter is still at best a flex play. Like if you have a better play than Michael Carter this week, I would go to that other guy over Carter, just because the Bills allow the fewest points to fantasy quarterbacks and the fewest points to fantasy running backs in the entire NFL. So I think
wide receivers.
It just don't all of them. Start sit as for like, for normal teams. I would say sit a lot of guys, and this is the Jets on top of that, right? So I would say if you can avoid everyone, do so, please.
I think for PPR, Elijah Moore might have some flex play. He's been good. He's been really good since their bye the last 3 weeks. I've been very impressed. But again, yeah, like Michael Carter, like PPR, like Ty Johnson's even had some appeal. I could see maybe some garbage points he's dropping off there have some, but yeah, there's not going to be anything too big. And also, folks, Dawson Knox coming back, so I was riding with Cole Beasley while Knox was out. When Knox has been in this year, Cole Beasley has been almost a non-factor. Those targets should be going back to Knox, so just be aware of that as well. There we go. That's Bills Jets. Let's go to the next.
Buccaneers at football team.
The return of the football team, Andy.
The return of the football team. Are they going to get a name? Or are they going to keep rolling?
I think they keep it. You know what? I think at this point, I think they keep it, right? Because WFT, like Washington football team, was their name in what, like the 40s or something like that. So I think they probably keep it, even if like other teams may drop their offensive nicknames and rename, like Cleveland Guardians in Major League Baseball. I think it's going to be on a case by case basis, but I think they stay football team. I bet.
It just sounds funny. Buccaneers football versus team. Football team.
Yeah.
It sounds like a bad dub over. Go football team.
I love it.
But there you have it. Yes. For the Buccaneers, Chris Godwin expected to play today, even with a foot injury. And I'm a Chris Godwin owner in one league, Sean. That just makes me real nervous, especially with the feet. Because doesn't this just scream of a situation? Plays a couple series and then's like, no. Antonio Brown is out, though, with that ankle injury. So maybe if he can stay in the game, you can count on him a bit. Gronk is also out. So I'm actually kind of talking myself into it a little bit now, Joe. As I go, I'm like, I don't know. But the injury still makes me nervous because he missed a couple days and was limited. So, you know, the Washington defense, I feel it should be a lot better than it has been, Joe. Like, maybe they're just on the field so much because their offense is a disaster and not effective at all, and they get worn down. But I feel like they should be better, but they just haven't been that great.
Well, I want to say I read earlier, maybe even last night. Yeah, it was Montez Sweat, who is one of their very good defensive linemen / linebackers. He was put on IR, right? So, I mean, I at the very least, I can't help the Washington defense, right? A team that has been, you and I talked about it a lot, all the first-round picks on that defense. But, I mean, hey, they've been underperforming significantly this season, and now they lose one of their better players to IR. I don't know if that was for the year, if it was just for the three games, but either way, he's not playing today. So, you know what, I think you fire up all the usual suspects, even if you have them, because, you know, Godwin, if he does play, I think you have to start him. Mike Evans gets a bit of a boost, I'm sure, as well. Even though he's been a little frustrating to own this season, right? Leonard Fournette,
3 catches, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, right, like that, right? Like he's gonna for sure catch less than 50 yards, but still somehow have double digit fantasy points. Like it's gonna be something like something absurd like that. And yeah, Leonard Fournette, RB1, right? He's like completely taken over that backfield at this point, and like I feel like he's a locked in RB2 every week with the chance, depending on who the matchup is, to get an RB1 finish, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Boy, with Taylor Heinicke, like the shine is off. Sometimes guys are just journeyman, you know, great backups. I think Heinicke's a great backup. He comes in, he can give you 2-3 games and then gets exposed. The offense has fallen completely apart. I wonder what Washington's going to do long-term at quarterback, because Fitzpatrick's not the guy long-term.
Well, he's done for the year. Do you saw that? Like, he's probably not coming back for the year.
Fitz, he is?
Yeah, they announced it either late last night or really early this morning. But yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick is unlikely to return this season, they were saying. Really? So you can lock in Heinicke at the very least as the starting quarterback for the rest of the year. But I mean, that, like, the ceiling has been high at times, right? But the floor is really, really low.
Yeah, like it was kind of cute, the gunslinger, kind of reckless and all that. But the last, boy, like, it's too much of a roller coaster, man. Since about week 5, it's been downhill. And Washington has all the pieces. You need a quarterback for next year. Like, I don't know how you get, because you're going to finish good enough to not get a top pick, and the quarterback class right now isn't looking super strong coming out of college. So, like,
I'd like to see Baker Mayfield on that Washington offense.
Andy. You stop it right there. Baker Mayfield's going nowhere. Baker Mayfield's Brown forever. Go 6.
So good.
Yeah. Terry McLaurin, like, everybody's really down. Like, McLaurin, it's not the guy's fault, right? Like, you're just not getting that much out of it. Like, McLaurin's a WR3 you can't rely on. Gibson has that bum shin. He's not on the injury report, but that shin's going to affect him all year. Little J.D. McKissick, like, it's a team I quite frankly kind of want to avoid as much as possible.
I'll say this. I do like J.D. McKissick this week just because the Bucs are allowing the 6th most receptions to running backs this year. We just saw, not just, but a couple of weeks ago, we saw Myles Gaskin carve them up in the passing game, right? So, I mean, I'm sure the Buccaneers are preparing for it, and they are getting a little healthier on defense. So maybe this is a game you do want to avoid some of these guys. But if you're, like, desperate for a play this week and you have a lot of injuries, I wouldn't mind J.D. McKissick as a flex play, specifically in half or full PPR leagues.
You know what's interesting you say that, because I am in a bye week conundrum show in one of my leagues. I have Joe Mixon on by, my running back's disaster. So I was toggling between J.D. McKissick and Jordan Howard, who I picked off a waiver. And I was like, how did I get here? How did this happen? Is injuries galore, all that good stuff. But I'm going with J.D. McKissick myself.
Yeah, I think I'm starting him in one of my leagues, too, just because.
Desperation.
Yeah, it's definitely not ideal. But I mean, if you're in trouble, look, I mean, I'm starting Brandon Bolden in another league, right? So that's where we're at. The injuries
we're
and
at,
bye
folks.
Weeks, that's where we're at.
That's where we're at, folks. All right, next game. Let's go.
Falcons at Cowboys.
Oh, how about my boy, Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm telling you, this guy, if I win any fantasy money in any leagues this year, it's going to be off the back of one Cordarrelle Patterson. That every year there's a guy you can pick up off of waivers. If you do it at the right time, you're right there. And I got him week 2, and I have been just enjoying the fantasy life that is Cordarrelle Patterson. What a stud in Yahoo League show and PPR. 14th overall fantasy player. Not receiver, overall. What a surge. WR and RB, dual eligibility in Yahoo. I don't believe they've given him that in ESPN leagues or other leagues yet, but that's where he's at. There's no Calvin Ridley. You go Pitts, you go Patterson, and I think you just lock down everything else. Maybe, though, if you're, and I put this in my Waiver Wire Tuesday article, I think Matt Ryan, Matty Ice might be a good little streaming play, maybe for DraftKings. You know, he's going to be a little cheaper because he's under the radar a little bit. And if you're in a pinch, because maybe you got Joe Burrow and you're on a bye, I think Matty Ice versus that Dallas defense isn't the worst play.
Yeah, look, I think Matt Ryan, or pardon me, the Dallas Cowboys have allowed 19.6 points per game to fantasy quarterbacks, right? So Matty Ice, I mean, despite the roughshod offensive line, despite no Calvin Ridley, like you said, Andy, Matty Ice has been pretty good. He's been, like, quietly good, right? I mean, he had a rough start to the year, but, I mean, after that, he's been good, including last week against the Saints, right? He had a rushing touchdown, his first of the year as well. Don't look for that to continue necessarily, but...
First and only?
Yeah, yeah. Right? Like, but at the same time, like, it did buoy his value a little more, where he was, like, one of the better plays in fantasy last week, right? So I like that. I am starting Matt Ryan myself in one league. I just want to say I also do like the Russell Gage play. Again, desperation. If you're like, if you need someone off waivers or you need a fill in somewhere, I do like the Russell Gage play in like half or full PPR leagues. But Olamide Zaccheaus, I think you should stay away. People who are thinking, like, you saw the top three finish last week. He had almost 20 fantasy points. I think he had like three catches and two of them were for touchdowns. So yeah. I think like just know that that was probably a one-off. If things change this week, then we can revisit that in coming weeks. But don't start Zaccheaus and think, yeah, I'm going to get like 15 fantasy points this week. It's because it's probably not going to happen.
No, probably not. And for the Cowboys, Zeke Elliott has kind of, you know, his days as a top three fantasy pick are gone. He has settled into a quality RB2 for your fantasy team, which sounds weird to say from where he was. He could always pop into that top 12 running back category for fantasy teams, of course. But right now, this is his latest production show. He's in sort of those, you know, low to mid-teens with the possibility to go off. Nice, steady production. Not where you drafted him and wanted, but nice, steady type of guy. So you're putting Zeke in, of course. Dalton Schultz is the interesting one to me. I think he could have a nice game today. It's really going to be a potential bounce back against a bad Falcons defense because CeeDee Lamb, Cooper, the Cowboys in general were just shut down last week. So I think you light all those guys up. Michael Gallup should be returning. We're going to have to wait and see how he incorporates into that offense. I'm not putting him in yet, just yet.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's possible he cannibalizes some targets from Schultz. It's also possible he cannibalizes targets from Lamb or Cooper, right? So we'll have to see how that ends up playing out. But, I mean, the Falcons defense is still very bad, right? So I think you can expect decent games for basically every Cowboy outside of Gallup because, like you said, I want to see how that goes. But I do like the Schultz play this week. And CeeDee Lamb and Cooper, like even if Cooper Kupp and CeeDee Lamb end up having bad games, like that's always like a hindsight thing. You know what I mean? Like there's never going to be a game where you look at something because of the potential and for them having good games and how good they are. There's never a game where you look at them and you think, I got to bench them this week. You know what I mean?
No,
like it doesn't really
got to play.
Yeah. Like it's almost like the Bucks, right? Like you could never really bench Mike Evans and Chris Godwin because of how they are so integral to the Bucs passing offense. It's the same thing with these two guys for the Cowboys, right? You can pretty much never bench them, and this is another week, especially against the Cowboys, where every week you start them, and especially so this week against Atlanta.
Yep, and Dak Prescott in there for sure as well. All right, let's get to the next.
Saints at Titans.
Oh, Trevor Siemian, show. You want ready for this? Folks, if you're eating, have the trash can. Beside you, Trevor Siemian, quarterback of the Saints, his average completion show, 5.8 yards.
Oh, baby.
5.8 yards. Folks, that's if you take two, like, two medium-sized steps forward. You're throwing it, you're traveling about as far as the average Trevor Siemian pass in the NFL.
That's Baker Mayfield-esque. It's Baker-esque, Andy.
You wait. Let's see how old McCorkle goes when Myles Garrett's chomping on him today. As long as he doesn't get too creative with those Gator rolls. Boy, Brian, by the way, Brian Burns of the calling out on his pass rusher friends. He says, go happy hunting on McCorkle.
Hey, I'm just going to say, NFL didn't find anything wrong. There was no fines levied. Just going to say.
It's true. And it NFL says it's legal. It must be. But, Joe, when we look at the Saints here, 5.8 yards for Trevor Siemian. The in Alvin Kamara, as we said earlier, out today. To me, the absolutely only play, only, is Mark Ingram. Yeah. That's it. That is the only guy I'm interested in, and he's an RB2. That is all for that. That Saints team has de-evolved into next to unusable. I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, Deontay Harris, Marquez Callaway, Traquan Smith. Like, you know what? If any of them showed any kind of chemistry with Siemian or even Taysom Hill, I'd be like, yeah, sure, do it. But at the same, the way things have gone this year, you want as few pieces of this Saints offense as humanly possible. So yeah, don't outside of Mark Ingram, I'm not touching anyone on this offense, even in like two QB leagues. Like no. Trevor Siemian is I would try to avoid him if you can. And yeah, on the other side of things, the Titans, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, it's funny, right? Because now that Julio is on the IR, he's out for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, no Derrick Henry, Adrian Peterson. Like we saw last week, AP got the rushing touchdown. But had he not gotten that rushing touchdown, which was essentially a goal line plunge, it would have been a terrible day for Adrian Peterson. And Jeremy McNichols did virtually nothing, right? He didn't really do anything, right? So I think you can't really bet on anyone from this offense outside of A.J. Brown right now, right? A.J. Brown, much like you said, Mark Ingram is the only play. It's the only play on this side of things is probably A.J. Brown, to a lesser degree, Ryan Tannehill. And, like, that's probably it, right? Is that fair to say?
That's very fair to say. Adrian Peterson, just as we feared, came in and did what he did last year with Detroit, makes the whole backfield unusable.
Ooh.
Does just enough. McNichols had 7 carries. He catches a little super goal, like... If you are desperate for a flex, I guess Adrian Peterson, I would highly, highly recommend you do not do that. But that's where it is. Don't blame the guy. He's pushing 40,
yeah,
and the dude's still in the NFL. So, you know, good on him there. But
is he a Hall of Famer, Andy? Is he a Hall of Famer, you think?
I'd have to say, you know what, I'd have to compare the numbers. I would say at this point for the longevity and the production, I'd say he's definitely in the conversation. First ballot, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to go look at the numbers, but he's, he was the sort of that measuring stick for quite a while.
If just out of curiosity, like if they both retired at the same time, who gets into the Hall of Fame first? Frank Gore, who is now apparently going to be in some kind of boxing fight against... I think it was like someone from the NBA, I think, or Frank Gore or AP, if they both retired at the exact same time.
It's got to be AP. AP was, like, Frank Gore, I don't feel you could ever say was the best running back in the NFL.
Right.
Like, I don't think you could ever say Frank Gore was the absolute pinnacle. Frank Gore is like, if you're using the boxing match, that guy could go the distance. Like, he's a marathon runner. He's, you know, you can, just for his body of work, the numbers might be over there, but... AP was the highest level for a while, so definitely would be Adrian Peterson in my book.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I was just curious. It's not like Adrian Peterson is going to be talking too much about him for the rest of the season, so I just figured I'd ask you.
Yeah. No, I think it's a fair question. He's, like Frank Gore, I think just for how long he played, deserves some talk. But the numbers based on the body of work instead of the impact, I think is definitely benefits AP.
That's fair.
All right, we are going to step aside after the break. We go to answer your fantasy football questions on the People's Text Line, 590-590. Name and location, get your fantasy football questions in, as well as on Twitter. You can send them at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show. Danger Zone picks still to come. We'll give away some Domino's Pizza as well. When we return across Canada, this is The Fantasy Show delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour 2 of The Fantasy Show kicks off right now, Canada-wide, across the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Andy McNamara, alongside Shawali. Give us a follow on Twitter, at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show, and get your fantasy questions in there as well as the People's Text Line, 590-590, name and location, please. We'll get to those questions in just a couple of moments, as well as roll through the rest of our fantasy football start sits for every single game in week 10. But first, show, you know, this year, what I put in for Domino's Pizza giveaways,
mm-hmm.
If the Cleveland Browns win, so do you. And the Browns won last week, baby.
There you go.
Ooh, did they win? Did they win against those Cincinnati Bengals? OBJ was gone. Was Baker Mayfield back up against the wall? Posted 41 points. What's up?
I think the first touchdown of that game like a 100-yard pick six? It was something like that, right?
It was right at the goal line. Denzel Ward, and he had to sit out like the next like two series with oxygen. It's like, dude, like I know it's a long
how
way,
old
but
he is good God.
Treadmill, man. Yeah, you're like 23, bro. Come on, like get walking a little, get the cardio up. But yeah, that was just a sensational game by the defense. So the question is for you to win. Which Cleveland Browns wide receiver led the Browns in receiving yards? And actually, now that I look at it, led both teams, led the game in receiving yards last week. Which Browns player led both teams in receiving yards last week in the 41-16 win over the Cincinnati Bengals? Text that 590-590 or tweet it in at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, at The Fantasy Show, using your name and location, of course. And we'll pick a winner after the show and get you some Domino's pizza.
Exactly, yeah. Andy and I are going to do the text line questions in a second, but like he said, 590-590. And if, you know, I usually call Andy after the show, so we will decide from a random assortment of everyone who gets the question right. We will just pick your name out of a virtual hat, essentially, and then you will win some, potentially, some Domino's pizza.
There you go. Pretty good. Pretty good prize there. All right, show. Should we answer the people's questions?
Yeah, let's do it, Andy.
And now, your fantasy questions on the People's Text Line.
And there we go, show. All right, 590-590, name and location. What do we got?
You know what? Let's go to Twitter first. This one was gotten in last night. I like this one because I actually have no idea how to answer this one. I'm curious what you think. This guy, Scoot174, he has a Calgary Flames, like the horse logo, as his Twitter handle, which I love that. I love that old school Flames logo. But either way, he does say, I have a good team, but I want to destroy my opponent. I have Austin Eckler and Najee Harris at running back, and I have DK Metcalf and AJ Brown at wide receiver. For my flex spot, the wide receiver or running back flex spot, do I start Cordarrelle Patterson or DeAndre Swift?
Oh, you go Cordarrelle Patterson.
Even over Swift, eh?
I do. I would. I just feel, show, that the way, if you look at how impactful he's been. Now, are you going to have a bad choice out of the two? No.
No, yeah.
But the way Patterson has been used in this offense with no Calvin Ridley, I just feel Patterson is an absolute must-start every week. And by the way, I like with Scoot, he just doesn't want to win. He wants to dominate. He wants to put fear into his league. I like it.
I like
it. Good job, Scoot.
Yeah, I like it too. All right, so Andy goes with Patterson. I'll probably go Swift just because I love how they use him. I think Jamal Williams is out today too, so they kind of have to, like, I think they have to use him as much as humanly possible. But, I mean, you know, it might be a slugfest of a game against the Steelers, which is always a fair one. Let's also finish up on Twitter as well. Fazel tweets in, Elijah Mitchell or Mark Ingram as my RB3 in a half PPR league.
You know what? I think I'm going to go Mark Ingram because it has the PPR element in it. There's just nobody. Trevor Siemian throws the ball, folks, less than 6 yards. Less than 6 yards. Who's he going to throw it to? He's going to throw it to Mark Ingram, and he's going to hand it to Mark Ingram. And then Taysom Hill's going to ruin our day with some sort of weird touchdown or something. But
absolutely,
in between, I think that's the better play. Especially, and I love it, Elijah Mitchell, but he's got banged up ribs. Jeff Wilson coming back in as well. 49ers are just such a weird team overall.
Yeah, I agree. It's true. They are a very strange team, right? It's true. So I'll probably go Mark Ingram as well over Mitchell this 1 week, just because Mitchell is banged up, and they're playing the Rams on Monday night, right? So yeah. I think I want to pass on that situation if I can. All right, let's get to the text line now. 590-590. And again, if we don't get to your text questions or your Twitter questions, Andy and I will answer all of them before kickoff today. You will get an answer from us, so you can send in your questions at any point, basically, and we will try to answer them before the 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff. So let's see here. Eddie Vermangus, what's up, boys? One question today. Standard scoring, I need a WR. Judy, Deontay Johnson, or Brandon Ayuk? Standard scoring, Andy.
Oh, boy. Johnson would be the automatic, typically. And standard. See, I like all these guys better in PPR, show. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, Ayuk's really, like, he's come on the last 2 weeks, the target share, from going from an average of one, two, and three targets a game, 7 and 8, really popping. Rams defense is tough, as we know, but Deebo Samuel's out there. Kittle could free up some space. You know what? I'm going to say Ayuk. I'm going to say Ayuk Monday.
Living dangerously.
A little dangerous. With standard, it does make it a bit more dangerous. But I think Ayuk, with how I've seen the increase in targets and his involvement in the offense the last 2 weeks, if that trend continues, I think that's the play.
Let's see. Juan from Thornhill, two questions today. Half point PPR league, Russell Wilson or Kirk Cousins at QB? We'll start with that one. Wilson in his return from the ruptured middle finger tendon or Kirk Cousins?
If Russell Wilson is healthy to play, I'm going with dangerous. Yes, I don't care what that finger's like. And it's in Green Bay, which could be a shootout. By the way, Aaron Rodgers is expected to play today. However, his weirdness and all that is, he will be back. He will be back today, apparently.
Yeah, he has been activated. He will play today. Yes. And the other one that Awan wants to know is, need one of these guys for his RB2. Again, another Elijah Mitchell question. So Mitchell, James Robinson, I guess if he does play, you have to track that up until game time, or D'Ernest Johnson.
Ooh. Now, I think you go with Elijah Mitchell. I love me some D'Ernest Johnson. He bailed the Browns out, went for 140-plus yards when I was in Cleveland at the game, the Thursday-nighter versus the Broncos, which is an amazing game. But it's maybe it's just the specter of Belichick, show. Like, you just sort of, like, that's sort of his power, you know? He just kind of spooks you a little bit to think, okay, is that defense, are they going to completely take him away? Browns offense is so good. I think D'Ernest Johnson is a very good play still. But I will say Elijah Mitchell in this scenario.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Mitchell as well. I like that one. That's a tough one. I'm tempted to go D'Ernest, but yeah, I do like Mitchell. I know we just talked about Mitchell and kind of poo-pooed him in the previous question, but of those guys, Eli Mitchell a little more.
Case by case.
Yeah, case by case. I think I see another one here from Steve in East York. He needs two of these guys. So you're picking 2.5-point PPR league of Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissic, Brandon Bolden, Jeremy McNichols, or Mark Ingram. So two of those five guys, essentially.
Ingram for sure. And you know what?
So the other guys so it was Gibson, McKissic, Bolden, McNichols.
If Gibson, I know Gibson doesn't have injury designation. That shin, they said, is not going to be right all year. So I'll say McKissic and Ingram.
Yeah, you know what? That's fair. I don't mind the Bolden play this week because Damian Harris has been ruled out. And Ramondre Stevenson is supposed to play, but we talked about it. We'll talk about it in a little bit. But the Browns pass defense is like fine. It's like right in the middle of the NFL. I want to say pass DVOA, but their rush defense is very, very good. So I think the guys you run right up the middle may not have great days against the Browns defense today. Let's do a couple more. I see one here. Half PPR. With Hopkins not expected to play today and Brandon Cooks on bye, I need one of these two guys to play, T.Y. Hilton or Jacoby Myers in a half PPR league.
I'm not trusting T.Y. I think you go Jacoby.
He does see a very good share of those targets, I would say. Like, I know he hasn't. I think he set the record, Andy. I think he set the record for most receiving yards to start an NFL career without scoring a touchdown, man. Which is wild.
He's thrown them.
Yes, he's thrown two. Yeah, he's thrown two since he's been, since he was drafted. But yeah, there you go. So I'll go Myers as well. I like that one. Myers, you know, you're probably expecting a little less because, you know, he doesn't see a, you know, if Mac Jones is under siege, and he probably will today, I think you got to be expecting, you know, a lower floor, let's say. You'll like this one. Chris in Toronto, first of all, he says The Rock. I think he had texted this in when we were talking about ballers. But Chris did say, The Rock in that new Netflix movie, Red Notice, is great. So there's a free advertisement for Netflix's movie.
I'll check that out.
I want to watch that tonight, I think, as well. But also, he wants to know Jeremy McNichols for my flex or Van Jefferson, Andy?
Oh, Van Jefferson. Don't even think twice about it. Jeremy McNichols, that whole back, it's unplayable right now, folks. It is. Adrian Peterson's going to take away just enough. Van Jefferson, I feel, is going to thrive. Not just do well like he has been doing, but thrive with this Robert Woods injury and OBJ. I'm not worried about him. I think you go Van Jefferson all day.
You want to do one more?
Yeah, let's say one or two more.
All right, let's do a couple more then. I see here. Okay, Rob from Sarnia. I feel bad for you, Rob. I'm sorry that you have to deal with this. He says, deep sleeper. I'm in a desperate RB state with Alvin Kamara out. Eno Benjamin versus Boston Scott.
Oh, baby.
Baby.
Eno. Eno.
Oh, no.
Who's with me?
Oh,
let's start
boy.
The Eno chance. Oh. Huh?
More like
Eno.
No. No, Benjamin.
No. Listen, Eno got a touchdown last week.
Straight dead.
All right? Eno got a touchdown. With Arizona, you have, you know, it's James Conner's world, but you have Chase Edmonds out. You know what, Joe? I was looking at him last week. I didn't pull the trigger, but I don't hate it. Out of that situation, I would rather Eno Benjamin over Boston Scott. That's right, folks. It's 2021. This is the world we're living in right now. Eno, let's go.
Awful.
Ooh, that's kind of catchy.
Eno, let's go.
Eno, great. Let's go.
Great. I see one here from Jacob. We'll do two more, okay? I see one here from Jacob. Yeah. He wants to know a half point PPR, Jarvis Landry or Ramondre Stevenson in the flex spot. Half point PPR.
Boy. both are. Jarvis Landry's coming off his two worst games.
I started Landry in one league last week, Andy. Ooh.
It's ugly.
I didn't win that week.
No. I'm not surprised. He's not 100% healthy. He's out there. Hasn't been great. Stevenson, like you said, Joe, is expected to play. He's coming off a concussion. Like he's flashed, but again, do I want to trust a New England backfield? I don't think I do. So out of that situation, I'll say Jarvis Landry to bounce back because he's been so consistent over his career. So I'll say Jarvis, but I don't love it.
Yeah, it's true. I don't love it either. Honest to goodness, that's a right? tough choice. Like, that's a really tough choice. That's a really tough choice.
Yeah, I'll say Jarvis.
Okay, so we'll go with Jarvis there. Okay, let's do one more. Let's see here. John in Toronto for a flex spot, Tyler Johnson from the Buccaneers or Deontay Harris. He doesn't say what the format is, but either way, Tyler Johnson versus Deontay Harris.
I don't want to trust Deontay Harris at all. I don't want to trust that at all. Do I want to trust Tyler Johnson, though? Now, before the bye, he did have 6 targets, 5 catches, and that's with Antonio Brown and Gronk out, so he would sort of slide into that third spot. You know what? I'll say Tyler Johnson, but don't like be ready for like 6 fantasy points either way. Like,
yeah.
Prepare yourself for that. If you have other waiver wire options out there and you want to throw those by us, I would gladly take a look at those. But I don't want to trust any New Orleans wide receiver. I know he's popped a bit, Deontay Harris, the last couple weeks. I can't rely on it. I just can't.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's totally fair. There are a lot of other questions, Andy, so we're going to have our hands full after the game. But we're gonna step aside for now and get back to the start sits. But don't forget, if we're not going to ignore your question. If you do, if you have sent one in already, or if you still want to send one in, you can at 590-590, or you can tweet us as well, at SNS Alley with 2 L's, at AndyMC81, or at Fan590. And we will answer all of your questions before kickoff at 1 p.m. Eastern.
There we go. All right, let's get back to the fantasy football start sits for each of the remaining games. Remember, if you missed any of the show and the start sits before, everything will be uploaded to the sportsnet.ca on the radio side. We'll tweet out the link a little bit later as well as on Instagram. So we'll get that for you, but let's get to the next game.
Jaguars at Colts.
So Jaguars at Colts. Well, let's start with the Colts show because sure. I feel there's more meat here. Jonathan Taylor. Oh yes. This is the guy I thought coming out of the draft. Him and DeAndre Swift. These guys are playing like the RB1s we were hoping for. Jonathan Taylor to that next level. Jonathan Taylor, show, is making a real conversation for himself to be a top 3 pick next year.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
Jonathan yes. Hopefully a longer run of success after... Yes. Actually, I guess he had a decent run. Home Improvement. I think he was the voice of Simba and the Lion King. Not bad.
You know what he was? I didn't think you would have known that he was the voice of Simba and the Lion King. Good for you.
We just watched the movie. I sound like Jonathan Taylor Thomas. There you go. Jonathan Taylor, stud. You're starting him. Michael Pittman, stud. You're going him. Carson Wentz, folks. People laugh. That guy's getting you low 20s fantasy points every week. That's what he's doing. 19 to like 21. A bye week and a streamer. Carson Wentz is a great play. I wouldn't even mind a little triple stack in a DraftKings contest show, feeling a little froggy. You know, a little Wentz, Pittman, Taylor against the Jags.
I like it. I do like, I'll say this. Wentz, like the Jaguars defense, I know we talked about what they did against the Bills last week. And they actually have been pretty stingy. I think they've allowed something like the fourth fewest passing touchdowns in the NFL, which is kind of funny. But at the same time, they're also the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? So I think I don't know how much you want to put. I don't know how much stock you want to put into that statistic. Let's put it that way. I think they're not every week start. Jonathan Taylor is an every week start. I don't know if Pittman and Wentz are every week starts yet. Pittman, I think, is like one more start for me declaring that, right? But at the same time, I think you can do a lot worse than starting all three of those guys this week. And again, I think I'm talking myself into that being my danger zone pick. We'll have to see a little later on.
Okay.
But after Pittman, I don't know that you really want to be trusting Zach Pascal or even Jack Doyle or Mo Alie-Cox. You know what I mean? Like, I think I think any of those guys, I think you pass on. I think it's really just those three guys that we mentioned already for the Colts offense. I don't know if you want to move on to the Jags, but I think that's kind of really it for me from the Colts side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Now for the Jags, boy, the offense is just not great. The wide receivers, I'm not interested. Laviska Shenault Jr., while always the threat of being a gadget guy, it's now sort of just a rumor show, right? Like, it's like he might, he always could, but he hasn't. So am I going to bank on what ifs? I'm not. James Robinson is the real wild card here. Now, he has that foot injury. I'm seeing what the latest report is from today. Reports James Robinson is a game time decision. Well, that's just great. Okay, so that means, that's terrific. Thanks. Thanks for nothing. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff. So if you got him, you're going to wait. If he does play, if it's that close show, this seems like a case where even if he is in, it'll be a time split with more Carlos Hyde, who did nothing for your fantasy team last week. Like, boy, I don't think I'm starting anybody. I'm not starting anybody.
If you're in a real bind again this week, and I know some people might be, I think Jamal Agnew could be a nice little play in PPR leagues because he has gotten a shocking amount of the team's targets over the last. Like he's basically with no DJ Chark. We know that he's done for the year, right? So in his absence, Agnew has stepped up more than Marvin Jones has, more than Laviska Shenault has. And you know what? I'll say this on Marvin Jones. It's not really Jones's fault. It's just that because if you look at the game last week, Trevor Lawrence missed Marvin Jones on what would have been at the time. I mean, they won anyway, so it's kind of moot. But at that point in the game, would have sealed the game for Jacksonville, right? Like it was a deep ball down the sidelines or down the middle of the field. I forget where exactly on the field it was. But either way, Trevor Lawrence missed Marvin Jones Jr. like wide open. There wasn't a guy like within 5 yards on any direction of Marvin Jones and just was flat out missed. And if he caught that ball, that one thing would have made him like a top 15 wide receiver last week, basically, right? So I think the usage is there. It's just Marvin Jones is the deep guy. And because he's the deep guy, like it essentially means if he misses just even one of those balls, his value tanks, right? Whereas like Jamal Agnew is used a lot in that short game. I will say this as well. Dan Arnold, I like Dan Arnold as a play. He has led the Jags in receiving yardage 2 weeks in a row, and the Colts actually allow the 6th most fantasy points to tight ends. I would probably say he's like the highest end TE2 this week. And again, if you're in a bind, I don't mind Dan Arnold, but just keep an eye on that going forward because he has been worked into the game plan more and more and more every week over the past month or so. So just keep that in mind. I don't know if I mean, you're not starting him over like the Dallas Goddards or the Tyler Higbees of the world. Don't get me wrong, but it's just keep that in the back of your mind.
No, it's a good point, especially with how thin the group is. I'd say again, try to avoid Jags if possible, but the Agnew and Arnold play, maybe flex or desperation is not a bad one at all and something definitely to track. All right, let's move on.
Browns at Patriots.
Let's go. The McNamara Ollie's Bowl. Let's go. Let's do it. All right. D'Ernest Johnson in for Nick Chubb, who is out with COVID. Dimitri Felton also out. Donovan Peoples-Jones, I love show. He's been right away. And it was not just a one-off because he popped when given the opportunity earlier in the year and last year. Great chemistry with Baker Mayfield. Interesting. When a guy runs the right route, like Donovan Peoples-Jones does, he catches touchdowns for Baker Mayfield. The same type of play that they were designing for Odell Beckham Jr., which for whatever reason he just could not haul in or get on the same page, Donovan Peoples-Jones cut a bomb touchdown. I think that's a nice – I don't want to put him in a WR2 category yet, WR3, lower end, flex. I could see a flex spot for him, but I think really when you look at the Browns, it's Peoples-Jones. Try to fade Landry until he bounces back, but like we talked about before, you might have to. And then D'Ernest Johnson, lower-end RB2 against that Belichick defense, which I just think they're going to be really focusing on stuffing the run today.
Yeah, exactly. I think you might see a lot of guys stacked up at the line of scrimmage to do everything humanly possible to stop the Browns from running the ball the way they want, and you'll see them probably force Baker to throw the ball more, right? So, I think for both teams, they're not like a ton of options I really want to start if possible today, right? Like, I don't think I would start Baker Mayfield against the Patriots defense. I don't think I would start Mac Jones against the Browns defense. I think out of necessity, you might be forced to start D'Ernest Johnson, but like you said, I think you have to temper your expectations. Like, I don't think you can expect, you hope for it, but I don't think you can expect the same game you got out of Johnson versus the Broncos, you said?
The Broncos,
right?
Yeah,
down that Thursday nighter. So, I mean, again, like you said, RB2, and Landry, Peoples-Jones, probably the only guys who can start there. Patriots also very stingy against tight ends and, you know, low passing volumes toward the tight ends anyways from Cleveland regardless. On the Patriots side of things, like I said, I don't want any part of Mac Jones today. Damian Harris is out. Ramondre Stevenson is looking like he will play. I think my favorite play from this game, Andy, might actually be Brandon Bolden. Because the Browns have, I don't want to say struggled. They haven't really struggled against any one position, I would say all season. But they are less good, let's say, against the pass than they are against the run, right? So Brandon Bolden is not the guy you're going to be seeing running between the tackles. That's going to be the big boy, Ramondre Stevenson, if he does play. But PPR-wise, and again, in standard, I want no part of it. But in PPR, half PPR, Brandon Bolden, not a terrible play today, I think.
All right. You could talk me into that one as maybe a back-end flex. Hunter Henry, I feel, too. Browns have traditionally struggled against the tight ends, but now the linebacker core has been playing much better. Jonnu Smith listed as questionable, so I think Hunter Henry would probably be my preferred play out of the Patriots today. But, Joe, honestly, this one is screaming to me like 17-13. Yeah. You know, 21-18 type of thing.
It's supposed to be quite windy in New England today, apparently, too. Like, windy, some kind of cloudy, a little rain. So I think, these are conditions both of these teams are used to playing in. But from a fantasy perspective, I bet you're going to see a lot of dink and dunk from both teams and a lot of, there will be plays from both teams today, Andy, that you'll scream at your TV because it'll be like, 3rd and 15, and they'll like do a draw play to either Dearness Johnson or like Ramondre Stevenson, and then punt the ball. That's you're gonna see a lot of that today.
Oh, you're so right. You're so right. All right, let's take the break. We'll continue to roll through our fantasy football start sits for the remaining games as well as our danger zone picks when the fantasy show continues Canada wide, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is The Fantasy Show with Andy McNamara and Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
We are rolling week 10 in the NFL. The Fantasy Show continues. Andy McNamara alongside Show Ali. Give us a follow on Twitter at AndyMC81, at SNSLE, and at The Fantasy Show. We are delivered by Domino's Pizza. And folks, if you like free pizza, of course, who doesn't? You just go to Domino's.ca. Top right-hand corner, you sign up for free. You'll see a little blue pizza slice, piece of the pie rewards. That means anytime you order something on Domino's.ca, $10 or more, you get 10 points. You get to 60 points, you get free pizza. Free to sign up, Domino's.ca. Do it today at Domino's.ca. All right, Joe, let's continue with our next game on the slate.
Vikings at Chargers.
All right, now, if we start with the Vikings, this has been a case where we had a Kirk Cousins question earlier today. And, you know, like, Joe, it's been so inconsistent with this whole team, this whole offense. Like, Kirk Cousins, really good fantasy week last week. Week before, awful. Week before, really good. 2 weeks before that, terrible. You go up against the Chargers, who've given the fourth fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. I think from a QB standpoint, I want to avoid Kirk Cousins. And of course, you know, every week you're lighting up Justin Herbert for the Chargers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's no way at any point that you can ever bench Justin Jefferson. I mean, like, in week 8, he had the worst game of the entire year, I would say, right? And then it did look kind of dicey in week 9 against the Ravens, and then he did catch, a 59-yard or a 49-yard touchdown right in the game. So I think he salvaged the day. I think he's probably a lower-end WR1 because those concerns about Kirk Cousins and, like, the lower passing volume are starting to crop up a little bit, right? But, I mean, most weeks you can probably pencil in Justin Jefferson as a WR1 and Adam Thielen as like a very high-end WR2 with upside, right? The conversation in the Vikings is pretty short because you're starting those two and Dalvin Cook every week. It's just matchup-based. You're starting Kirk Cousins and Tyler Conklin, probably matchup-based as well, right?
You know what? I'll say this with Tyler Conklin. Now, is he going to be my first fantasy choice for tight end? No, but I used him in a spot start, and I think he's one of the higher-end waiver wire streaming options. He's cheap on DraftKings, and you can get him into your lineup. Look at the target share show since week 6. Week 6, 5 targets, 3 catches, 10.1 fantasy points in PPR. After the bye next week, 7 targets in consecutive games, 5 catches each over those two games, 10.7 and 9.5. Now, we're not seeing touchdowns, but what that says to me is he's not a catch and fall down guy. He is getting some yards to get you close to those low-end double-digit points. So if he ever does pop in another touchdown, you can see some real return there. So I think just from a purely non touchdown dependent guy like we talk about, you know, on the Chargers side, Jared Cook, who is definitely that.
Yeah.
Like, I personally would prefer Tyler Conklin over Jared Cook in that head-to-head matchup.
Sure. I mean, Conklin is the second most targeted player on the Vikings over the last three games, right? That's pretty consistent, right? I mean, we have to see if that continues. But, I mean, three games starts to become a pattern more than a one-off, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll monitor that going forward. But, yeah, it's true. I am very much looking forward to seeing what those guys can do. That's for sure. We almost played some nice music there for everyone, but no.
I thought you had a gimmick segment coming in there. I was like, if you're playing Chumbawamba again, I'm going to lose it.
No, we're good.
I think that was good. A little. Is that Maroon 5?
Wow, good for you. Good for you for not, right? Nailing that in the first couple beats of that song. Good for you.
How about this? See, that's your classic radio concert. Like, name that tune.
Maybe if we were an FM radio station, Andy. Maybe if this wasn't AM radio, yes.
Play that tune, Maroon 5. Yeah, I would have won the prize there. Absolutely. And for the Chargers, you know, you're playing Austin Eckler, obviously. The shine's come off of Mike Williams a bit. Keenan Allen is just a rock-steady, highest-end WR2 show. That's what he is. And like we said, Justin Herbert, you're playing every week. But Mike Williams, really, since week six, has not done much. Like, he hasn't hit double-digit numbers since week five.
Yeah, he was on fire to start the year,
yeah.
Right? Like, he was one of the you would have thought if that production kept up, he would have been probably the waiver steal or the draft steal of the entire year, right? He was just on fuego, right? But I mean, yeah, he's really struggled, single digit fantasy points over the last three games, five catches, two targets each of the last three games. I don't know if he's injured or what, but he's held back by something. I don't know if it's game plan or again injury, but yeah, Keenan Allen is definitely ranked over him at this point. Austin Eckler and Justin Herbert, you're pretty much starting every week. And I'll say this, I know people were a little concerned that Eckler had dislocated a finger last week. He had talked about it, I think, on Twitch, and that his finger was swollen. But I think he is largely fine. He is obviously expected to play today and is going to be fine. And in case you're worried, the Minnesota defense gives up the third most rushing yards per game this year and also approximately 20 fantasy points to running backs per game. So expect Austin Eckler to be used a lot, Andy.
Early and often. Light it up. All right, next game.
I think I'm playing him against you, Andy. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Well, all right. Let's move on.
Panthers at Cardinals.
Oh, boy, folks. Sam Darnold to the IR. Usually that might be well, he's playing pretty bad. P.J. Walker. I love P.J. I want to cheer for P.J. I liked him last year a little bit. I think he's got some of the tools. But, boy, the XFL days, the shine is off. Our XFL hero show, it's gone. I would strongly recommend not playing D.J. Moore or any player not named Christian McCaffrey. I think it is a very short conversation when it comes to the Panthers.
Yeah, D.J. Moore has just, we just talked about Mike Williams. Moore has nosedived since that terrific start to the year. And, I mean, it definitely coincided with Sam Darnold turning back into a pumpkin. And it also coincided with, Christian McCaffrey getting injured. But, of course, now things are different because now Darnold is injured and Cam Newton is in there, right? So, yeah, I think until – we said this off the top of the program, but until we see what that passing offense looks like, I think you have to bench pretty much everyone, right? I mean, the tight ends for sure have no fantasy relevance. It's really just DJ Moore at this point. And even then, if you're forced to start him, he is probably nothing more than a WR3 until we see otherwise. I would love for that to be wrong, but I mean, we just have to see otherwise, right? So that's kind of it. And then, yeah, on the card side of things, Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins are both not expected to play, I think. I think Hopkins is almost for sure out. And last I saw on the ticker here on NFL Network on the TV, the Cards are pessimistic, they're saying, quote-unquote pessimistic, that he will play. So I think you treat that as though he does not play, and Colt McCoy will get the start again. I think he was great last week, mainly because he dumped the ball at the James Conner, who ran it in the entire length of the field for touchdowns, right?
That's what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, that's his job, right? So Colt McCoy did his job last week, but I think that if he does get in there, and it looks likely against the Panthers, I think the conversation on the Panthers becomes a short one again. I think you just start James Conner, and if you can avoid most wide receivers outside of Hopkins, who's not going to play, I think you do that, unfortunately.
Show, you forgot to start the chant of E-no.
No.
E-no.
No.
E-no. Benjamin.
Stop it. No.
Let's
no.
go.
No. E, no. No, Andy.
You know. I need the Michael Jordan gif. Stop it. Get some help. I want all the Eno shares this week, people. You know what? I think, honestly, Christian Kirk's a great play this week with Colt McCoy. He popped last week again. Great out of the slot. That's where his strength is, and that is certainly where Colt McCoy's wheelhouse is, dumping it down. Six targets, six catches, 91 yards, 16.42 fantasy points in PPR last week for Christian Kirk.
AJ Green also getting reactivated off the COVID list. I think he is playing, I think. So that could be like an interesting little play. But, I mean, we also have zero sample size for how AJ Green plays with Colt McCoy. So if you do start AJ Green, that is on you, not on us.
That's at your own risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not recommending that. All right, let's move on.
Eagles at Broncos.
All right. You know, we chatted a bit about this before. This is weird. Jalen Hurts, who even was picking up garbage points with his legs, whatever, he has had several stinkers in a row.
Yeah.
They're committing to Jordan Howard on the run, which is just bizarre. Why? What did Kenneth Gainwell do to anybody? He didn't hurt anybody, I don't think.
As far as we know.
Jordan, not as far as we know, but he's in the doghouse for whatever reason. Jordan Howard getting the love. Now, the problem is, if this was against a middling running team, I would actually be kind of okay with Jordan Howard this week based on what the coach said, that they want to continue making him a key part of the running game even when Miles Sanders comes back. But the Broncos have given up the seventh fewest fantasy points to running backs. So they might be forced to maybe to throw a little bit. Like, I think based out of necessity on the thinness of the tight end group, you have to go with Dallas Goedert. And you set your expectations lower. And Devontae Smith has been really the only playable on any sort of consistent basis wide receiver. So I think you go Smith. I think you go Goddard. And I would try to avoid anybody in that backfield.
Andy, 75% of the Eagles' passing targets, like the attempts last week from Jalen Hurts, went to either Devontae Smith or Dallas Goedert. So I think that speaks to how those guys are the only two guys playable. I'm not concerned with Dallas Goedert because I think there were just some plays last week where, you know, he dropped a couple, some passes were sailed over his head. You know, it was a tough game for him by any stretch, but he still is getting, he is so involved in that offense and is still getting like the majority share of the looks from Jalen Hurts, like his first and second read. So I think you just start Dallas Goedert and you feel better about it. You know what I mean? Like I think he is still an every week tight end one, even if he is on the lower end side, just because he is so involved in that Philadelphia offense. And Devontae Smith had one of the best games of his young career last week, right? So I like that. And yeah, Jalen Hurts, week 8 and week 9, he is averaging 15 points, which is, like, I mean, it's different because the Eagles are just running the ball a whole hell of a lot more with, unfortunately, Jordan Howard. I think he is, I mean, Howard's probably a flex play, but still, like you said, I want as little to do with that Eagles offense as humanly possible, if at all.
That's spicy.
If all possible. Broncos, I mean, Jerry Jeudy, like, I almost feel like everyone who you would talk about in this game, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, Melvin Gordon, and Javonte Williams, are none of them, to me, are more than flex plays. Is that fair?
I think it's very fair. And I think you'd have to think at some point Javonte Williams is going to step into the lead back role with Melvin Gordon. I wouldn't think you'd expect to bring him back. But Melvin Gordon, he's popping, man. He's giving you high teens in the fantasy point-wise. Like, Melvin Gordon is a must-start. He's pushing RB back end RB1 territory there, Sean, which is crazy. I think he's a great play today. Maybe, like, Javonte Williams, he can jump into the low end a little bit. That's kind of risky. Out of all the wide receivers, I think I'd probably put Jeudy as the safest floor. Sutton's usage has been weird. It's way too up and down, and there's Tim Patrick. Noah Fant has done nothing. So, yeah, I think it's Melvin Gordon and then Jeudy, and that's probably all for me.
Yeah, Sutton has been a little frustrating, right? Because when Jeudy was out, he was like a bona fide like top 20 receiver in most weeks, right? Like, he was very, very good, especially in PPR leagues. He was eating, right? And now he has been used so sparingly. It's awful, right? Over the past 2 weeks, here's how he's finished. He's finished 64th and 88th in PPR, Andy, over the past 2 weeks. Oof. That is awful. That is awful for a guy who was like finishing with like 15 plus fantasy points every week without Jerry Jeudy, right? So I think we have to it's anyone's guess as to how this will go forward, but still Jerry Jeudy over the past 2 weeks has still gotten 12 targets, right? So I think he is probably the de facto number one, but probably still working back into game shape after missing most of the season, right? And like you said, I really think when it comes to Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, the Broncos are just going to run the tread off of Melvin Gordon because he is almost for sure not going to come back next year. And then Javonte Williams is going to be like a top 10. Like, you and I will probably have Javonte Williams in our top 10 if he has the backfield to himself. He's going to be a top 10 running back next year.
If there's changes there, yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on.
Seahawks at Packers.
All right, Russell Wilson back. The pin is out of the finger, and you know we're feeling pretty good about it. The backfield though, show. Yeesh. Yeah. Alex Collins, Rashad Penny combo. No, thank you. No part of the Seattle backfield running backs. Avoid it absolutely. With Wilson coming back, I think it re-ups Tyler Lockett in that RB2 conversation, or rather wide receiver 2 conversation. And DK Metcalf, he's so good. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who's at quarterback.
Are there any two players in the entire NFL who are happier to see their quarterback come back than DK and Tyler Lockett? Probably not, right?
No. No, they're like, yay! Oh, thank Russell, God. We took you for granted. We love you. We took you, get him a cake, all that. Yeah, it's really tough there. But, right, Joe, I think that's probably the only Seahawks, like, we're not touching the tight ends. If Russell Wilson feels good enough to play, I'm not going to doubt the man. I'd suit him up. I'd feel comfortable.
I think so, too, right? I think if Russell Wilson starts and you've been stashing him on your bench, because there's no way anyone dropped him to waivers unless your other guy was like Patrick Mahomes or like a Josh Allen or like someone like that, right? Matthew Stafford, right? Someone like that. I think Russell Wilson has got to be started. I know it's a little risky because of the injury, but I mean, yeah, I think you got to start him. By the way, I only have 2 games left, but by the way, I got to say this. I don't know if you saw the video Russell Wilson posted on Twitter when he announced his return. I think it was like on Tuesday last week or something, but either way, he posted some video where it was like, it was clearly some kind of like, he got some media company or his own media team to like put that together. It was the corniest thing I have ever seen. Like I honestly, for a really, really good player, Russell Wilson might be like the cringiest social media quarterback, I think, in the entire NFL. Like, do you remember a couple weeks ago when he was still out? I think it was on like a Monday nighter, or maybe it was that game against the Steelers. I forget which game it was, but the cameras caught him like doing running a no huddle offense, and he'd like fake run but with nobody. He'd like be doing it by himself on the field, and he'd be like running. He'd be like fake calling plays to like the air in the middle of the field, and, like in mime as he's throwing the football, and then he'd like fake run back to the huddle and like point at imaginary linemen and run. Like, all I could think of was Russell Wilson is playing that out for the cameras. Like, I love watching him, but it is the corniest thing I've ever seen.
It's very weird. Yeah, he's trying to be cool, and it's just do our math homework, bro. Come on.
Like, you know what?
Just do the homework.
You know, we used to refer to people as being extra. Russell Wilson is a little extra. He's a little extra.
He is a little extra. Nice throwback word. How about a little extra quarterback play coming back? Aaron Rodgers back from his holistic failed COVID, whatever the heck that was in Green Bay. What a mess of a man. However, he can throw the football very well, and that is great news if you're a Davante Adams owner, because you're going to be feeling very comfortable lighting him back up. Of course, Aaron Jones. I don't know if I feel comfortable putting Aaron Jones in the RB1 conversation show. Like, you're going to put him in that slot because you're not going to have anyone better. I find myself in that situation. But his production-wise has been more to the high-end RB2 because A.J. Dillon has been, for the most part, usable as a flex play.
Yeah, A.J. Dillon has eaten into that Aaron Jones work. I'll say this, if that continues this week now that Aaron Rodgers is back, I'll be ready to sound the alarm bells, but I wonder if just because Jordan Love was in there and probably does more work with A.J. Dillon that he saw all the pass game work over Aaron Jones, right? So I think with A-Rod back, I think I'm still going to put Aaron Jones into the lower end RB1 conversation against a Seattle defense that allows the third most fantasy points to running backs, right? So I think
I hope he is.
Yeah. If otherwise, I think we can have different conversations next week. And then, like you said, it's Davante Adams, and that's it, really.
That's absolutely. Aaron Jones, 2 out of his last 3 games, less than 9 fantasy points. So that's, you're going to play him, but we're crossing our fingers things get back to normal. All right, next one.
Chiefs at Raiders.
Oh, boy. Like, show, I think we've given the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt for long enough. If they do not get out of whatever funk they are in, you got to start panicking.
Yeah.
You got to. That is three straight weeks of stinkers from Mahomes, from Kelsey. Tyreek Hill did have a good game sort of sandwiched in between there. But, like, this is getting very concerning. And the Vegas Raiders are a tough out. Say what you want. They are a tough out. So for Tyreek Hill, he goes up against a team that's given up the third fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. And Travis Kelce caught a TD, but man, like, that whole offense just doesn't seem right. And I don't want any part of that running back, that backfield. I don't know. We said that a lot today. I don't know how many running backs were crossing off.
Yeah,
here,
right.
So, but there's a lot I'd prefer not to have in my lineup.
Yeah, true. I mean, like, look, Darrell Williams is still probably an RB2, right? I would think. But at the same time, you're, again, like you said, we've said this a lot today. You're tempering your expectations with him, right? And again, you're not benching Mahomes, Hill, or Kelce in any situation because of who they are and how they've produced over their careers. But at the same time, again, the Chiefs offense has looked so out of sorts. I mean, again, it's been scoring decently well. It's just for fantasy purposes and all that stuff. Even if scoring just a little bit less than they usually have, which is basically where they are, is still concerning because you're used to, like, record-breaking numbers, right? Like, Travis Kelce having a decent year, but decent is not what you want from Travis Kelce because you drafted him in the first round, right? Yeah, you draft him for amazing.
You draft the guy who got, what, 200 extra fantasy points than Darren Waller, whatever it was last year. Like 80 points, maybe, whatever it was. Looking at the Raiders side, weird game for the Raiders again last week. They lost to the Giants, and it was just a dud. But really bad game. But overall, Derek Carr has 5 games of over 20 fantasy points. That's, again, as it now he's owned in 78% of the league, so he's probably not on your waiver wire, but this is a good matchup if you can get him. And you look at the running backs. Like, they've been actually quite good when it comes to Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake. Like, both you can put in there, which is, I think, both into the RB2 conversation for sure.
Well, Josh Jacobs, I think, he'd been injured, and now he looks like he is not fully healthy, but certainly healthier than he has been all season. Like, that's really been the only knock on Jacobs this season. When he's healthy, he has been great, right? And we already know Josh Jacobs is very, very talented. So if I think he's been beginning to kind of outpace Kenyon Drake when it comes to touches, like overall touches, and, you know, on the passing game as well. So yeah, RB2 territory for me for Josh Jacobs. I might say, like, flex play for Kenyon Drake, but if you're in a PPR league, that might get upgraded to RB2 as well. You and I both love Hunter Renfrow. You've been banging the drum for him.
Oh,
yeah. He saw the vacated targets, like we speculated, right? Went from the Henry Ruggs being cut, and for good reason, obviously. So Hunter Renfrow got those targets. He is the de facto wide receiver one, even though Darren Waller is the top pass catcher in that game. Hunter Renfrow is the top wide receiver, if that makes sense, right? But you're starting both of them. Like, there's no way you're benching either of Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller, and that's probably it at this point, I would say. You're passing probably on, like, the Bryan Edwards of the world.
Yeah, for now, anyway. All right, last game of the week, Monday Nighter.
Rams at 49ers.
And we've talked about this game quite a bit already. You got Robert Woods out with the torn ACL. Cooper Kupp, I think a lot of the targets here just goes right back to him. I personally feel Van Jefferson is going to be the beneficiary. I say a heck no to OBJ. Matt Stafford coming off that whole offense, it was strange last week. Just a complete miss, a complete dud. We know how good that offense is. Tyler Higbee, you liked him as well. Show as maybe somebody else who could nibble away at those targets that are not going to be going to Robert Woods. And Darrell Henderson in the backfield, I'm putting him over Eli Mitchell for this one.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you're starting Kupp, you're starting Higbee. I think if you have a better option than Higbee, you can do that. But I think, you know, the 49ers are decent against tight ends. But then again, without Woods,
the volume's there.
The volume is there. So I think you can still feel okay about starting Higbee and Henderson and Stafford. You're starting on the 49ers. Yeah, I mean, again, it's the same guys, right? George Kittle is just still not a question mark necessarily, but I'm just intrigued to see how he does against the Rams defense because he was pretty good last week. So we'll have to see if that continues. Then you can stick him back in there as an every week tight end one. He's just been injured this year.
Yep, I put Debo as a, you can put him in as your WR1. And Brandon Ayuk last 2 weeks, you know, does it continue against the Rams?
I think he lives.
And I think maybe if Debo's getting top coverage, maybe Ayuk and Kittle drawing coverage, I would put Ayuk as a WR2, certainly a flex, a WR3, absolutely. Yeah. But I think he's a very serviceable piece for this week. So that's the games. And now it is time to get dangerous, show.
Welcome to the Danger Zone.
Danger Zone.
Danger's my middle name.
Danger Zone.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
All right, now podcast-friendly music to go along for the day. Well done, show. You produced this along with the Sportsnet Orchestra.
I did.
Time to get dangerous this week in the Danger Zone. And here's my dangerous pick. It comes off of that Monday nighter. I think Van Jefferson has more fantasy points than any wide receiver not named Cooper Kupp on either team.
I like it.
In that Monday nighter, Rams 49ers. Van Jefferson season, S-Z-N. Van Jefferson showcases himself. And I'm going to put an extra wrinkle, extra dangerous show. Odell Beckham Jr., single-digit fantasy points, not impactful.
Well, that's less dangerous because he's only going to be returning punts today.
So I'm including them all together.
All right,
including them all together. No, show everyone wants OBJ. Oh, he's going to be going. Nah. No. OBJ, single digit. I'm expecting not much this game or any game out of him. And Van Jefferson feasts on anything Cooper Kupp lets him eat.
All right, so there you go. So after Cooper Kupp, Andy says Van Jefferson will have the most fantasy points out of anyone in this matchup on Monday night.
Wide receiver
points. And yeah. I mentioned it before, I'll go the triple stack for the Indianapolis Colts. Carson Wentz, Jonathan Taylor, and Michael Pittman Jr. will all be top five finishes this week, every single one of them. So I think we can expect that from Jonathan Taylor. I'm not so sure about Carson Wentz and Michael Pittman, but either way, all three of them will have top five finishes, and the Colts roll over their division rival Jacksonville Jaguars.
I like it. That is pretty dangerous sounding to me. All right, folks, that will do it for Danielle, for show. I'm Andy. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show, delivered by Domino's Pizza across the Sportsnet Radio Network.